I'm sorry if you're disappointed. I am your special speaker for today. I had called and contacted Andrew Rawls and was going to get Andrew to come up. Everybody loved Andrew. And out to about a couple weeks ago, he was coming, but his wife's pregnant and soon to give birth at any time. And so she said she just didn't want him to be gone and didn't want to travel. So I understood, and I thought instead of rushing trying to get somebody else, I'd just make y'all suffer and listen to me again one Sunday, okay? Is that all right with everybody? I hope so. Because you're stuck with me anyway. But listen, homecoming, right here. I can't believe if you look at your bulletin there, 183 years that this church has been in existence. Think about that. Now, some of you might have been here. No, I won't go there, right? But listen, that's a huge, that's something to be very good. Praise unto the Lord. That's all about the Lord, okay? What a great testimony, 183 years. I know a lot of you guys are here that have family that grew up here. You might, some of you, you've went off now, but like I said before, you're still a part of the family. You're still a part of what's going on here, and we're so thankful for each and every one. As I was talking about earlier about the 9/11 2001, and how many of you remember when you got the news that the World Trade Centers were attacked? It's something we'll never, I mean, it's something that marks our lives, isn't it? We'll never forget that moment. Here's the deal, to be honest with you, I had been deer hunting that morning. Imagine that, deer season was in. And I'd been bow hunting that morning when I came out. I listened to 106.9, The Light in Asheville, and I came out and it was like, what's going on? I thought we were under attack and that we were actually under siege or something. And I never forget the urgency to get home to my family because I had no clue what was going on. And so it was about 11:15 before I understood exactly. I'll never forget that feeling, though, of not knowing what in the world was happening. And I think that that's what really turned our world upside down. You know, I dare say when we think about it, everything changed, as I was talking about. Our security, our safety, our confidence, our pride as a nation. And yet, we realize in the midst of all that, we learned a great lesson that we can't put our security and our safety and our confidence in, or even our faith in man or a military or a country. But we can only put that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though the earth crumbles around us, you know what? We can trust in Him this morning. And as I was preparing this message, I was just thinking about God's Fellow Workers is the title of this message. And we'll be turning our scriptures to 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 11. And so that was an enemy. We faced an enemy that we didn't understand, and it changed our world. Well, when we look at this, I want you to understand in 1 Corinthians that Paul is facing an enemy, and the greatest enemy that we have to face, by the way, is ourselves. The enemy of ourselves, that is our greatest enemy. And so I want to set the context, when we get to chapter 3, I want us to think about Paul as a dealing and addressing about they were forming teams. Listen, the Greeks were known for their games, this Midian Games, Olympics. We still have that, just finished celebrating that last month and watching that. And the Greeks were known for competition, being competitive. Sound familiar? We all have our teams. We won't talk about Carolina won and Duke and State lost yesterday. We won't even mention that today. Sorry. But we have our teams. If we're not careful, that's how we operate. And we're very competitive in America. And so we'll pick our teams and we'll... And there's nothing wrong with good fun with that. But listen, it's wrong when we have teams and we're competitive within God's house. I want us to know that this morning. There's no competition, and though you represent churches, many of you are visiting for other churches, I want you to know that South Fork is not in competition with anybody. I want your church to be full of the Holy Spirit of God and to grow. I want to see it discipling and baptizing and people coming to know Jesus. I want revival to break out, and I don't care where it's at, I just want it to break out, okay? Can anybody say amen this morning? And so competition is not a place for the church, and yet Paul's dealing with that. The church at Corinth was a gifted church, man. I'm telling you, full of gifts, full of people that were just, had all these spiritual gifts were working, but it was founded right in the midst of all this Greek culture and the competitiveness and sin and debauchery and all these things, he planted this church right in the middle of that. That's how God works, by the way. He puts his church in the middle of a dark world so that we can shine the light of Christ. There's hope in Christ. It doesn't matter how bleak your world might look, and when we turn on the news, there's hope in Jesus. Why? Because the church, you're in the world. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us, and we shine that light out wherever we are. But what they were doing, they were choosing teams. We had a group saying, oh, I'm Apollos, man. Apollos is our preacher. He's a very, very eloquent speaker, by the way. And they were saying, hey, I'm of Apollos. And then another group was saying, well, I'm Paul's man. Man, I'm Paul. I kind of comprehend, so I'm on his team. And then the other one was saying, no, we're a Peter. We're Peter's team. And then this, and then the real spiritual one says, we're just on Jesus' team. Listen, I want us to know there, when we see this and what Paul's addressing this morning, that we're all God's fellow workers. There's no competition. There's nobody that's in competition here today. And if there's a spirit of competition, if there's a spirit of division, it's not of the Lord. Does anybody hear that? It's not of the Lord. He doesn't bring division into this house. And if you're dealing with that and you're struggling with that, that is a spiritual problem, and that is a character flaw that we need to work on through the Holy Spirit of God. And so Paul, man, he had planted this church right in the middle of all this, this great debauchery, all this paganism, and yet it was flourishing, but some of the same things of the world was still holding on to them. And they were still having a hard time with these certain things. And so I want us to think about that this morning as we got God's fellow workers. I want everybody here, that, especially you visitors that had come back to join today, I want you to know how blessed that we are to have you a part of this church and your heritage here and what you've done and the things that have come before you. I want you to know you're a part of something that's going on now, and we'll see that. I want you to be blessed by that. You saw the kids, you saw the singing, you're going to get to see a baptismal service. And the reason that we did that, I asked somebody, I said, have you ever heard of a baptismal service at homecoming? Said nobody. Said, no, I've never heard of that. Listen, the reason we're doing that is because I want every visitor to know you're a part of what God's doing today. Okay? You're a part. We're building on the foundations that great men and women that have been here and great men that have stood in this pulpit and preached. We're building on those foundations. You're a part of that today. And so I want you to be blessed by that. And I want to thank you. I want you to understand we're thankful to you and the heritage that we have here, 183-year heritage. Wow. But I want us to think about two questions this morning as we go into God's fellow workers in the message. Who are you, and what are you doing? Who are you, and what are you doing? You see, what we are doing is connected to who we are. As a church, that's as an individual, but then as a church, South Fork people, who are we, and what are we doing? What is the purpose behind, and why are we here? I want us to think about those questions and to understand those things. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, and it helps us to understand the things of God. And that indwelling empowers us and that we can come together. And the Scriptures say today that we're all baptized into the body of Christ. Everybody that's a believer here today, we're all baptized. We're united. We're family. Doesn't matter what local church we belong to, we are of the family of God, of Christ, through the blood of Jesus. What they were just singing about a few minutes ago. That blood makes us, you know, we're blood kin. Hey, that's right. And that's strong. I want us to keep that in mind. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We hear these words, temple of the Holy Spirit. We hear the body of Christ. We hear these metaphors of the church. And I want us to think about that today, those a couple pictures of the local church as we're looking at God's fellow workers. First, I want us to look at, and we're in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 11. You guys need a little break. You need to stand up because you've been sitting for a while. And let's reverence the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 3, and we'll be reading through 5 through 11. Word of God says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, so thankful for this morning, what it represents, 183 years, all these great people have visited. This is all a glory unto you. And I pray in Jesus' name that right now for a few moments, you'll hide me behind the cross of Christ. May your word go forth, touch us right where we're at for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want us to thank, firstly, and God, as God's fellow workers, verses 5 through 9, we are God's field. Think about that. We are God's field, verses 5 and 9 says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field. He wants to see that we're God's field. He uses these analogies and metaphors. We're God's field. What is he talking about? Well, the problem, as I was talking about, the problem at Corinth was the churches, and it's a typical church, if we're not careful, we'll say, oh, that's so terrible, but it happens to all of us. They're playing, we're the best. You say, what are you talking about? We're the best. What do you mean? Well, I follow Apollos. That makes us the best. And if you're on Apollos' team, we're the best. Hello? Oh, I'm on Paul's team. If you're on Paul's team, you know what? We're the best. Whatever music we like is best. Whatever we like, we're the best. We play, we are the best if we're not careful. And we'll put a lot of emphasis on look. We'll put a lot of emphasis on 183 years and what this family did or that family did. And we'll say, hey, we hung in there when times got tough, and so that makes us better than somebody else. I want you to know something. Everybody that's sitting in this room here this morning, there's no best here. Only Jesus Christ is the best, okay? But we see that they're doing this, and Paul's addressing that. And here's the deal. Paul's saying, come on, we can't have this division. Do you understand that Satan's greatest tool in the church is division? What does he want to do? He wants to drive a spike in between us. Man, he wants to drive a rail. And you know what he'll use? He'll use me and my own pride and my own desires, and my own wants. He'll use me, and you know what? Our own preferences, all these things and these agendas that we have, and he'll drive division within the church. And we have to be on guard with that. And Paul's telling them, man, he's trying to work with them. And he's letting them know division's not of the Lord. Never has been, never will be. We've all been in churches when we saw Satan get his fingers in, right? And that's what he wants to do. And you know who he'll use? Us. I want you to know something. When a church grows and it gets on fire for the Lord and the Holy Spirit's around, Satan will always raise his head, and we got to be on guard for that as churches. We got to see what he's doing, and we got to come against that. We got to keep the main focus, and that's Jesus Christ and people coming to know Jesus as their personal Savior and growing in grace. And you know what we have to do? We have to crucify ourselves. That's what he said. He must deny himself, Jesus said, and follow me. You know what? That's going to be your greatest enemy. Who? Me. Me and my desires. And so I want us, Paul's showing us some things here, and he's letting us know that it's not good, division, not to play favorites. Why? Because look what he says in verse 5. Leaders are only God's servants. He said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom we believe as God gave to each one? The church was choosing sides. Paul straightened them out. He said, You're choosing servants as your leaders. That's what he said, ministers. We're only ministers through whom you believe. And I'm going to tell you what, when the Greeks heard servants, oh, they didn't like that. Remember, they were all elitists. They wanted other people to serve them. They didn't want to be a lowly servant. And yet, that is how Christ came, did he not? He said, the Son of Man didn't come to serve, did he? But to be a servant to all. And so when you hear this, Paul says, we're only servants. He's bringing them back down and showing them, man. And when he went to that low social status, he got their attention. He said, hey, there's no use to cluster around personalities. Why? People will always follow man. Always. Listen, this morning, listen, there's no spiritual superstars. Can I get an amen? There's only one superstar, Jesus Christ. He's it. There's no spiritual superstars. And I'm telling you, we'll do this. You know what we'll do? We'll say, hey, I went down to Georgia and I visited Charles Stanley's church. A lot of y'all visited him on the TV this morning, I'm sure. But that's what they'll say. I visited Charles Stanley's church. Or right there in Atlanta, too. I visited Johnny Hunt's church, Lee. I went to Johnny Hunt's church. You go to Raleigh. I went to J.D. Greer's church. Listen. Or we'll even take ownership when something's going on that we don't like. Well, I don't like what they're doing in our church. I've invested. I've put time. I've put money in our church. Listen, I want you to know something this morning, please. It belongs to Christ. It belongs to Christ. It's not the work. It's not our church. It's not a man's church, a preacher's church. Don't you ever call South Fort Baptist Church David Cooper's church. It is not. It forever and will be Jesus Christ's church. And he said, that's the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need to realize every brick, every board, every classroom, every dollar, every person belongs to Christ. And you're his field. You see, the church is not these walls, and we'll talk about that in a minute. You're sitting. The church is sitting on the pews. There's a lot of great names that hammers and nails have rung out to build this sanctuary right here. A lot of names that could be mentioned. A lot of men that I can look down the Hall of Fame there where you put your pictures up, and I go by there sometimes when you're lying around, and I'd salute. I'll say, bless your heart. Listen, a lot of great men have stood in this pulpit and worked and labored. A lot of great people sit in these pews now and have sat in these pews and have given their life that the church can go on. But I want you to know the church is not this building, but it's you, and we'll see that in just a minute. You're his field, and you are his. Everybody here. We can't lay our claims. If we're not careful, we wrap our hands around things. This is what we do. And we want to hold on. And because we've worked so hard, we think it's ours, and we want to say that it's ours. It's that competitive spirit. But listen, we always come before the Lord like this. Always. Every talent, everything that we have, everything that we are, we come with open hands before Him. And we give it to Him daily. That's a good thing to do every day. You know, my prayer, I'll just be honest, you can... I've told you this before, but my prayer when my knees hit the ground in the morning is, Lord, you're God and I'm not. Got to remember that. You're God and I'm not. Help me not to mess it up today. Help me not to play in your place. Help me not to try to supersede you or get out in front of you. You're God and I'm not. And that's a good prayer for each and every one of us to begin our day. Leaders are only servants. And then he goes on here and he gives us some analogy that we can really understand here in the high country. He said, leaders are only God's farmhands. Look at verses 6 and 7. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. He said, hey, we're just planting seed is what Paul's saying. We're just planting a seed. Just for the record, you can teach a monkey to plant seed. Okay? Now, Paul is not just, he's not saying don't show respect to God's man, no whatsoever. He's not saying that. He's saying when you take man, though, and he's in his own self, he was an apostle. He said, when you put me in the place of God, you got it all messed up. We're nothing compared to Christ. We're nothing compared to God. And without Him, this thing cannot grow. This thing cannot go forward. And that's what He's letting them know. He said, hey, we're just farmhands. Leaders are not stars. They're servants. They're farmhands, seed planters. Only God can make anything grow. Only God. And we don't put field hands and servants on pedestals. Oh, we appreciate them. 1 Thessalonians 5 says we esteem them highly. You need to pray. Pray. If you don't pray for anybody else, please pray for me. I need your prayers. Why? Because I'm a man. And I can mess up dearly. And I'm probably the weakest link here. You don't want the weakest link. It's got to be pretty strong. So pray. And Paul said he's putting the perspective into place here, and he keeps bringing out God, and he's talking about God gave the increase. God gives the increase. It's God that has to do everything. And so he's letting them know, and he's putting them. But I love where he says that they're just servants carrying out ministry, but he says it back up in verse 5, through whom you believe as the Lord gave each one. You don't believe in them, but you believe through them. We're channels. We're channels of preaching and teaching the Word of God. He says, through whom you believed. In other words, hey, it was the preaching of God's Word that we all came unto salvation, unto Christ. Somebody cared enough to tell you the truth. It could have been grandma, grandpa, mom, dad. It could have been some redneck preacher preaching on Sunday morning. I don't know who it was, but we're channels, and we let the Word of God go through us to touch life, and it's the Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God that changes and makes people a new creature in Christ. Our faith is directed to Jesus Christ. I promise you this, a good leader, are you hearing me? A good leader will preach this Word. This will be what he stands on, but he'll also point you to the real leader, and that's Jesus Christ. If this Word is not preached, what in the world are we doing? Entertaining? Entertaining? We can stay at home and watch entertainment on the television. Is that what it's about? It's the Word of God that's preached, and it goes forth. And a good leader will always draw your attention to who's really the leader, and that's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he's the one that has to be lifted up. And we're partners. Listen, not competitors. Look at verse 6. One planted, one watered, but all for one purpose, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God can make it grow. Listen, we understand this in our gardens. Oh, mine don't look like much right now. The lamb's ears took it over. Which, by the way, that stuff's got like 21% protein in its seeds. That's unreal. That's more than a hamburger. I thought it was a weed. So I've been taking the seed. I've been storing the seeds. I thought, I'm going to eat some of that. 21%. I thought it was a weed. But it takes over your garden, you know. And right now it don't look like much. But you know what? I've ate a lot out of that garden. I've had squash and tomatoes and corn on the cob and canned green beans and all these great things. But listen. You say, well, you got out there and worked hard. You can work till the sweat drips off of you. You can put the seed in the ground. And listen, you can say, well, if I got good seed and the sun shines and it rains a little bit, it's going to grow. We take it for granted. Who makes the sun? Who gives the rain? Who made the seed? Come on. Only God, Dave. Only God can do that. He's the only one that can make it grow. It's not simple. It's complex. Every time you eat a tomato or a squash casserole, y'all say, praise Jesus, he done it again. I mean, we take it for granted. We do. But he's putting that analogy and he's bringing it back to the church and saying, listen, everything. Yeah, what about them kids up here? That's just a fraction of what we have. Them's little seeds, man. Goodness, that's the future. You know what? God's placed them in our hands to help them grow. God's placed them in here for us to be a part of, raising them up to know Jesus. Can anybody say amen? We need a remnant of people that knows Jesus and stands upon His Word. We're botching it up pretty bad, but God, raise up a generation that'll stand on Your Word, that'll be full of the Holy Ghost and not scared to go out and tell somebody about what Jesus can do for them. Lord, raise it up. Raise them up. there laughing, Sammy. Raise them up, Lord. I like that movie. That was good. But listen, lastly, I want you to see, he makes the sun to grow. He makes the rain. He makes the sea to sprout. He does all of it. Only God deserves the glory. Only God deserves the glory. When you see these three candidates come up here, and they're going to be baptized here in just a few minutes, you give glory to Lord Jesus Christ. He's still saving souls. He's still in the saving business. And as long as He is, there's hope for our world. You don't give glory to South Fork Baptist Church. You don't give glory to this pastor. You don't give glory to the congregation. You give glory to Jesus Christ for what He's doing. And you're a part of it. You're a part of it. Because listen, look at verses 8 and 9. We're all on the same team. He said, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. Same team, same rank. One not preferred over another. No place for rivalry or competition. They share in the same status. Watch, farmhands. Farmhands and servants. Not so much of who you are, but whose you are. You belong to God. I want you to look at verse 9. And he said something there, and I couldn't get over it. I told Sandy this week, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own, what does that say? Labor. He's not saying he'll receive his reward to how much he grew the church, how many people was coming, or how good the budget was, or any of those things. He said he'll reward him to his labor, what he did unto the Lord. That's each and every one of us sitting here, by the way. Do you do all things unto him? Do your job, your school, everything that you do it unto the Lord? Your hobbies, your sports, unto the Lord. He says that's the labor that you'll be rewarded for, what you did unto him. And the things that we've done unto ourselves will be waste away. We have to check our motives and see why we do what we do, who we are, and why we do what we do. He says right here, we're fellow workers, partners in helping the body, workers and laborers for Christ's glory. Each and every one of you are that. I don't care. You don't listen to Satan when he says, well, I don't have any gifts. I'm not really doing anything. That's not what the Scripture says. Each and every one of us are important, from the least to the oldest. We're all important. We all have a purpose. We all have a reason that God brings us together for that purpose, is to glorify Him, to bring Him glory. He says we're fellow workers. Man, we're working this thing together. You know what? I've realized that this life is very short. Can anybody say amen? I was just a young man. Just yesterday. That's right. And here I am. 54 years old, with grown kids, no grandkids yet. I'm going to be an old man for you, grandkid. But listen, it just seemed like I was 18. You know, you're working towards something all the time, aren't you? It never fails. You got to tell the kids, can't wait till you're 16 to get your license. Then you're 18, and then 21. And so you're always working for that. Next thing, you're 54, looking back, scratching your head, saying, what just happened? Life is so short. God's given us this time. This is our team. And we work together for a purpose. What? There's another team coming behind us here. How are we going to leave it? Think of the good men and godly women. That's the reason they work, so we could be here right now. Some of your moms and dads just go on to be with the Lord. And they work that we could be here right now and serving and growing up this generation. Is it going to stop with us, or are we going to get on board and look and see what God's doing? Are we going to give in just like everything else and just get satisfied and ride the mule train? That's what we like to do. Put it in overdrive and just ride it out. Is there not a purpose? Is there not a plan? Paul moves from agriculture into architecture. Look what he says in verse 9b through 11. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it.
For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The local church is a building, and I said that before. It's a building, but it's not the walls. It's not the stucco. It's not the brick. It's you. It's you. You're God's building. In the ancient world time, think about it. It took them years to build Herod's temple. It took 70 years. Man, that's a lifetime of building one building, ain't it? 183 years so far. We're still building. Still building. Takes a lifetime. We're God's building, he says here. Paul says it was the grace given to him by Christ in verse 10 that he allowed him. He planted the church at Corinth. That's why he called himself the master builder. He was the architect that God had used to start the church, to build the church there and to lay the foundation in which was being growing and working. And Paul says, man, can you imagine if he had wrapped his hands around that and said, man, I'm part of this church. You're going to do what I say. He said, no, you don't do what I say. You do what Jesus says. He says, that's what we follow, what the Lord says. The building was the people, but listen, the foundation was Jesus Christ. How the foundation is laid will result in the strength of the building. Foundation determines what? Size, shape, strength, all these things. We can grasp that. Now, when we get ready to build, we got some carpenters in here. When you get ready to build things, what do? You got to have a great foundation to start the building on. He's saying that's exactly right. And the only foundation that has grown the shape and the strength, it's got to be Christ. He said, let each one take heed how he builds on it. Every believer is involved in building the local church. Hello. Every believer is involved in building the local church. You're building God's building, and every one of us are involved. Each one. Well, we pay the pastor to do that. I'm not a mercenary. I'm not a merc. You don't pay me to do anything. Listen, I do it because I love Jesus and I love you. And it's the same standard here as sitting there. And we're all in this thing together. And you're called to give the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live it out daily. How are you doing? Are you caught up in your 401k? Or just chasing after a white ball? Or a weed mule? Some deer? Is that all life is about? Is it we're just working towards our comfort? It's not about our comfort. The church is, yes, it's a place that we can come and be comfortable because we're with God's people. But it's not a place to get comfortable. It's a place for us to work and to grow and to go on. Listen, life's going to be short. And when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, how was that ram? How many deer did you kill? How many fish did you catch? Or how big was your house? How many championships did you win? He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? I gave you the Holy Spirit of God to be a light and a salt when we read the Scriptures out in a lost world. And all you worried about was your own comfort and your own ease. I'm afraid that's going to be rough for a lot. And yet, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we're giving the Lord? What is it, Lord? He said, each one builds. And in verse 11, I love this. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The building must be worthy of its foundation. Let me say that again. The building must be worthy of its foundation. If Jesus is the foundation, then everything should be worthy of the Lord Jesus. That means everything we do, we give him our best. We don't just get by because we can get by. We don't just do it because we've always done it that way. We give him our best because it's worthy. Is he not worthy this morning? Is he not worthy of our very best? He gave his life for you and for me. He died on a rugged cross. Sinless, but carrying my sin. They placed him in a grave, and the third day he arose. If he can die for us, can we not live for him? Can we not live a life that's given over to him in everything we do, draw him glory? You see, the character of the foundation determines the character of the structure. The church is not founded on style or leadership, but upon the gospel of the crucified Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the church is founded upon. We'll have applications, and then we'll be done. first one. What are you doing to help cultivate and build God's church? What are you doing? Linda, come on and play, please. What are you doing to help cultivate and build God's church? So we saw through God's Word, we're all responsible for that. We're all responsible for being a part of that. Number two, do you think about those coming behind us across this stage, sitting in the pews, all those little ones running around, coming behind us? What are we going to leave them that's so much better? Our spiritual life can be so anemic, just going through the motion. Don't you want them to have a walk with Christ? Here's what I pray. Let them have a walk with Christ. I don't even understand it's so much greater than mine, Lord. Do we even think about what's coming behind us as a church? Number three, who are you and what are you doing? You have to answer that question. Who are you? And what are you doing? Let's all stand to our feet. We'll give just a moment. Who are you and what are you doing? What is it? What is your purpose? What drives you to do what you do? What is your motivation? If it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, listen. What foundation are you laying your life on? Because that scripture go on to say, he who builds on wood, hay, and stubble, it's all going to burn up. It's going to be for nothing. All the things that we think are so important are going to burn up. The only thing that's going to stand is that precious jewel of Christ. What is it that you're building your life upon? What about those that's coming behind us? Do you have Christ as your Savior? Are you thinking and praying for those little ones that, Lord, use them mightily? Help them to go way above what we could ever think and say. Bow your heads before the Lord. Be praying. What is it the Lord wants? Does the Lord want something from you? You just need to come pray. This altar's open. Brittany's going to sing. And just as soon as she starts singing, just come and pray if you need to pray. If you're lost, come and see me. Man, I'd love to show you how to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Whatever it is the Lord's saying to your heart, just answer it in obedience.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him.
Do you surrender all this morning? Let me have my baptismal candidates come up on this, please, this verse.
Yeah.
Harrison came. It's been a couple weeks ago now after service. Asked the Lord, say, Lord Jesus, to save her, come into her life. The Lord's been working on her heart for a long time, and she wants to publicly let everybody know today that she's received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Jenna, have you received Christ as your personal Savior? By this testimony, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Connie. Norris now. I almost called you back, but she's Norris now, okay? She came a while back. Knelt down right beside this altar, her and Cheyenne. Asked the Lord Jesus to be her personal Savior. I'm so excited about her way and what the Lord's going to do with them. Connie, have you received the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? By this testimony, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Last, but certainly not least, Stephen Norris. Stephen came. Sit down right there, brother. Stephen came. Turn this way. He came. Been a couple weeks ago. A broken a man as I ever seen. When Christ gets a hold of you, know what? He can break all the sod, can't he, Stephen? Been through a rough time, but you know what? The Lord Jesus is getting him through it, and I'm so thankful, very proud of him, what the Lord, he prayed and received Christ right here. And so I'm so proud to see what the Lord does with Stephen. Stephen, have you received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? By this testimony, then, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Listen, you guys that are visiting, you had a part in that. Everybody has a part in what the Lord Jesus is doing right here, okay? I want you to know that. Pray for us as we follow the Lord, and we want to see more people come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We want to baptize more believers. We want to disciple more believers. Why? Because that's what the church is all about. I'm going to pray, and I'm sure you're going to have a good time eating the spread that they've laid out for you over there. So we'll pray for the meal, and we'll go on out. I won't make you shake my hand because that'll take too long. I'll shake your hand while we're over there eating. How's that? But listen, I love each and every one of you. If you don't go here on your own, I'm here anyway. We're all part of the family. Anytime that you need me, please know that I'm available for that. If maybe walking an aisle was foreign to you today and you gave your life to Christ, please let me know if maybe he's dealing with and you want to talk more about that. I would be glad to talk about it. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank you for a great day. Father, we give you praise. So thankful to see men and women, boys and girls, come to know Jesus Christ. And Lord, this baptismal pool that represents a life that's been changed, a testimony to the world of what's happened to a soul within. So thankful for these three that got baptized today. So thankful for 183-year heritage right here, South Fork Baptist Church. It's not about a church. It's about a Savior. And so we praise you for that. Lord, if you tarry, give us 183 more with people getting saved all the way. But Lord, I also want to pray for our future and all these kids that you've brought here. Keep them safe from the world. Keep them from Satan and his attacks. Lord, help raise up a generation of missionaries and pastors' wives and school workers and teachers and doctors and lawyers and God, farmhands and all that, Lord, that stand upon the word of Jesus Christ and see their life as a missionary field. Raise that up, Lord, and I promise you we'll give you the praise. God, go with us as we now, as we have our fellowship meal together. Let us have a great time together. Thank you for every hand that's prepared food. But God, all the glory goes to you because you're the only one that can give it to us. And so we praise you and we ask you to bless our meal, our time together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Go eat, God.